I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday. It's hump day. Aren't you happy? I am happy. The week is already almost over. As you can imagine, there is a ton we're going to get to tonight. All kinds of Christopher Ray talk that's coming soon. Just hang on there. More open anti-white racism at NYU. We'll discuss that. Moving FBI headquarters and half measures. We'll talk about that. In fact, we're going to maybe even do a little history around that whole thing. You want to do a little history tonight? Good inflation news. Trump's not going to debate, not going to participate in the debates. Things are bad at Disney and the meatless burger at Burger King. All that and more, and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I want to begin here. And in case you're wondering, this is about Christopher Ray. All right. So this is about Christopher Ray. It's about all that, the testimony he had to give today in front of the House. And I'm going to play all the clips for you, right? In case you're just now, I realize this is a lot of people's drive home. That I'll play it all for you. So I'm going to give you all the meat and potatoes. But, you know, I don't watch professional wrestling anymore. I used to when I was a kid. All the way, I would guess, into my teens, I would watch professional wrestling. I'm talking Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and all the ones I would watch professional wrestling. And I loved it. Shoot, my old man even took my sister and I to a wrestling match once, and it was the best. It was so much fun, the pageantry. And if you still watch professional wrestling, let me just say, that's awesome. I think it's fun. It was just fun. It was fun. So I'm not dogging on it, but I don't watch it anymore. Now, why? Is it because it's fake? Because it's not real? No, that's actually not it. That's not why. I learned early on, thanks, Dad, that it wasn't real. It's not why. I stopped watching professional wrestling. I fell out of love with professional wrestling because there wasn't much mystery to it. You can pretty much predict what's going to happen. Back in my day when it was Hulk Hogan would get in a wrestling match with whatever bad guy you hated. And at first, Hogan would be doing really, really well because he's Hulk Hogan and he's better than everyone else. And then the bad guy would do something dirty or illegal. He'd pull some brass knuckles out of his crotch or have his ringside buddy hit Hogan in the head with a chair. Something dirty. And we'd all yell, no, cheater, you can't do that. And then Hogan would look down and out. And then eventually Hogan would rise up because he was the good guy and overcome the evil bad guy and win the match. And I'd be at home going, yeah. But how many times does that have to happen before one day it just kind of gets boring? Because you already know the deal. You've been behind stage at the puppet show. You've seen the strings, and the puppet show just kind of loses something for you. That's why I don't watch professional wrestling anymore. I'm going to play for you all the clips of Christopher Ray, and we'll analyze the ones as they come down. I'll analyze each and every run. I'm going to give you all the meat and potatoes stuff today. But you remember, this is not something I'm new to. I've been ranting about this forever. I ranted about it as soon as the GOP, well, before the GOP took the House, after they took the House, I've ranted about it a million different times. What are you going to do about it? Because everything that happened today, it was all professional wrestling. I could have laid it all out for you yesterday, and you could have laid it all out for me. You know the deal by now. You get the game. What was going to happen? Christopher Ray was going to go sit in front of the GOP-controlled House of Representatives, and he was either going to outright lie, which he did several times today, or he was going to go with the good old-fashioned FBI line, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. Over and over and over and over again, he was going to answer questions in that way. You knew that yesterday. I knew that yesterday. The GOP would ask tough questions, and honestly, in many cases, even good questions. They would ask tough questions, and then he would respond, and then nothing. Nothing. This is my problem with the professional wrestling match we saw today. Christopher Ray sits in front of the GOP-controlled United States House of Representatives, and he's the director of the FBI, and he is so unafraid. Remarkably unafraid. I don't care how great the questioning is.
I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you.
So, look, I enjoyed that line of questioning. You enjoyed that line of questioning. It's fun listening to Christopher Ray try to work his way around it. But let's be honest. We all know the deal, don't we? Christopher Ray didn't answer the question about Hunter Biden's text messages because Christopher Ray and his FBI, they are not only actively protecting the Joe Biden family now, we know for a fact they've been protecting the Biden family for a long time. Remember, the FBI had possession of Hunter Biden's laptop in 2019 before the election even took place. It's not that they are running a protection racket. They have been, and you already know that, and I already know that. This is stuff we talk about all the time. So why is he sitting there unafraid? Why? Why does Christopher Ray sit in front of Chuck Grassley in the Senate and say, wrap it up, I got a plane to catch? Why does he sit in front of the House of Representatives and just not, well, I don't feel like answering that question. Do you realize how remarkable this opening non-answer really is when you think about it?
I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
He was just asked a direct question about a text message of Joe Biden's son, where Joe Biden's son is reading to a Chinese communist that I'm sitting by my father, Joe Biden, president of the United States of America, and we expect our money to get sent to our account, and we inspect it now, or we're going to exact revenge on you. That's an authenticated text message from Hunter Biden, and the director of the FBI doesn't even pretend to be vaguely interested in it. I know I'm supposed to take that whole exchange there as some kind of, wow, what a great question from Gates. And it was, so credit to Gates for it. But that's not what I took from it at all. I took from it as, man, this guy ain't worried even a little bit. Hey, will you comment on this text from the president's son making it look like the president of the United States of America is compromised by the Chinese Communist Party as he has clearly accepted illegal bribes from them? Would you comment on that, FBI director? What? No, I'm good. Thanks. I'm fine. I'm good. Anything else? I'm sorry, but I find professional wrestling to be boring now. How am I supposed to get excited? Why am I supposed to get excited? Well, because they might move the headquarters. That's supposed to blow me away. Wow. Move to Alabama. Good. good. Alabama's better than D.C. D.C. sucks. You're doing them a favor. That's supposed to be my inspiration? And you know what? I'm not even playing the rest of the clips right now. I will get to all the clips. I'm going to go off on that in a little bit of history. You ready for a little bit of history? Just because I feel like it. We're going to do that next. And we also are going to do the more open racism against white people in the country. Good inflation news. Trump unlikely to participate in Republican Party primary debates. We'll discuss that. I'm sure in a way that'll make everybody mad. That's why I love doing that. Disney World, Ukraine, Zelensky. At least he thanked us for the money.
And he gave us huge support. I want to thank to all Americans. We understand that it's more than $43 billion for today. It's big support. And I understand that it's all your money, but you have to know that you spend this money for our lives. And I think that we save the lives for Europe and for all the world.
Well, at least he said thanks. Let's talk about why Christopher Wray isn't worried. I've got a great example. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday where Christopher Wray stood in front of the House of Representatives completely unafraid and lied over and over again, or just kind of avoided the truth. You know what he did, Chris? You ready for this? He obfuscated.
Where do you find the interest in free speech of American citizens being taken down? And I repeat, free speech of American citizens. Where do you have that authority?
So we don't ask social media companies to censor information or suppress information when it comes to national security threats, certainly. So what we do is alert them when some other intelligence agency gives us information about a foreign intelligence service being behind some account. We will call social media companies' attention to that. But at the end of the day, we're very clear that it's up to the social media companies to decide whether to do something about it.
The suggestion of the most powerful law enforcement operation is not a suggestion. It is, in fact, effectively an order. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
Obviously, he just lied. He clearly lied. We're at the FBI. Let us in, Facebook. Hey, we're not telling you what to do, what not to do. But this account right here, this account who says COVID-19 vaccine might even cause some heart swelling. Hey, we're not telling you what to do, but that's a Russian bot account you might want to take care of. In fact, we have emails from people at the White House cussing, I won't use the language because kids are listening, cussing at these social media companies for not doing exactly what they've been told to do. So he's lying. But again, that's the professional wrestling aspect of it. Why is he lying? Well, right now, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they want a new headquarters. Did you know that? Because, of course, all these government buildings have to be brand new at all times. And since none of it's their money, it's your money, it's my money. Hey, we need a brand new shiny headquarters. So while the CHECA is violating your rights, while they have violated your civil rights time and time again, the civil rights of school board parents, the civil rights of Donald Trump, the civil rights of pro-lifers, over and over and over again, they violated their rights. This is an organization that is a clear and present danger to the United States of America. They are asking for a new headquarters. What is the GOP response to their request for a new headquarters? The GOP response is, all right, fine. We'll give you a new headquarters. Only it'll be in Alabama. Alabama, you should know, is kind of like a second headquarters already. Huntsville, second headquarters already for the FBI. So the CHECA, the horrific punishment they're going to get for repeatedly violating the rights of the American people, violating their oath of office, betraying the nation, and turning their organization into a hostile power, the punishment is going to be move to Alabama? That's the GOP punishment? You know, we've talked many, 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 many times on this show, but we're going to talk again right now. We're going to do a little history right now. And it's history that gets uncomfortable because, well, this is a saying I have, and believe it or not, I didn't steal this from anyone. This is mine, that an open door is not very dangerous. A closed door is actually not very dangerous. You know what is dangerous? You know where you can really hurt yourself? On a half-open door. Why? Because you walk into that edge of the thing and you bang your face off of it and soon you're at the ER getting your nose fixed. It works the same way with conquest. And for so long, the low-T GOP, the nursery rhyme GOP, has thought that there's a nice way. We can just leave the door half open. There's a nice way to correct the things that are wrong. But that's not true. In fact, you'll even see low-T GOPers on the right say things like, well, we don't want to overcorrect. They love using that term, overcorrect. You know what an overcorrection is most of the time? It's correcting what was wrong and then taking extra steps to make sure that thing doesn't happen again. It's actually a good thing. You know about the Punic Wars, right? Rome, Carthage. You want to do a little history with me? Now we'll get back to, I'm sorry. I just find all this stuff to be so repulsive. I will give you all the Christopher Wray clips. You want to do some history with me? Walk with me. Now, I'm going to lay out the players of the game here first, because it's not really going to be as much Roman Carthage as you think. So I know you can picture Northern Africa. All right, they're in the south. They're on the bottom of your little mental map. There's Northern Africa, and that's where Carthage is. And then you picture that Italian boot, right? The Italian boot. That's where the Romans are. And then there's Sicily. Maybe, unless you're looking at a map, go ahead and look at a map if you like. I find maps help me tell stories, help me understand stories. Right off the eastern coast of that little boot tip of Italy is this huge island called Sicily. Now, in Sicily, that was a wild place. Because in Sicily, before Rome and Carthage started going at each other a lot, there were Greeks there. Carthage was there too. Carthage had a presence there. And the Greeks, remember, the Greek Empire was huge and powerful, even though there were separate city-states. Rome loved the Greeks, admired the Greeks, while at the same time killing many of them because they took over all the Greek places. But there was Rome, Greece, and Carthage, all right? Rome, Greece, and Carthage. That's the stage. Rome and Italy, Greece and the Carthaginians in Sicily, and then Carthage in Northern Africa. Let's do a little lesson for the GOP here. Hopefully, while they're all listening, they're all taking notes. Before I get to that little history bit, let's get to this. Let's get to the 20th anniversary of MyPillow. They are celebrating their 20th anniversary, and they're celebrating it in the best freaking way you can possibly imagine. That's giving out amazing deals on everything, but I want to draw your focus specifically to the queen size MyPillow that's normally $69.98. Right now, it's $19.98. The king size one you can get for just $10 more. Change how you sleep. It changes your life when you change how you sleep. These pillows, they fixed my wife's neck problems, all kinds of neck problems from hurting herself at gymnastics. It took a MyPillow to fix it. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square, and use the promo code Jesse, or you can call them 800-845-0544. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or 800-845-0544.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, talking about the Christopher Ray stuff today, talking about half conquest, talking about anti-white racism, talking about moving the FBI headquarters to Alabama. Let's get back to our history lesson about the FBI and the GOP. So I laid out the players. It's Rome. There's a bunch of Greek cities, and then there's Carthage. Now let's go to the island of Sicily. You see, Carthage was this big boy major power at the time. Rome was this big boy major power at the time. And then there was this city. I'm not going to bore you with the details of the name. There was a city right across that little strait in Sicily. And this city had a problem, you see. Sicily was a wild place back then. And when I say wild, this is what I mean. Mercenary armies would oftentimes rise up in these areas that weren't really controlled by anybody, and they would just take over a city. And since the city wasn't really controlled by anyone, it just kind of became their city. They became the rulers of it. And this happened in this city. And then this city figured out something. We have a problem here. Our problem is we're going to get taken over, and, well, we need some help. So what do? They reached out to Carthage, and they reached out to Rome, and they said to them, hey, we want some help. One of you come help me. Now, remember, Carthage and Rome are not friends. They're not really even friendly. They have an uneasy peace at this point in time. They said, hey, come on in. Come help me out here in our city. Carthage showed up first. Before the Romans, Carthage mobilizes a force and shows up so they can help this city defend itself. Woohoo! Carthage is here. But then Rome didn't like that. They didn't get comfortable. They weren't very comfortable having just taken over all the Italian peninsula with some Carthaginian city being the one right across the strait. So Rome sent a bunch of troops over there. The city kicked the Carthaginians out. Rome moves in, and then boom, we have a war, a Punic War, the first of the three. But there should have never been three. Now, most of the Punic War took place on the island of Sicily. And here's how it really worked. The Carthaginians were good on land, very, very good. The Romans were better on land. The Carthaginians originally had the better navy, had an outstanding navy. The Romans didn't really have much of a navy at all. And so when Carthage would square up with Rome on the water, the Carthaginian boats would ram the Roman boats. I know it's crazy, but that's how they did naval warfare back then. You had a big battering ram on the front of your ship, and you smash into the other boat before he can smash into you, and everyone drowns and dies, and woohoo, we won the day. And then the Romans, because they're Romans and they're freaking amazing people, decided they could engineer their way out of this problem. Remember, the Romans were engineers above all. Okay, these Carthaginians are a pain. They keep ramming us. How do we fight them hand to hand instead of this boat stuff? They come up with something called a corvus. What was a corvus? It was a huge wooden plank that stood straight up on the Roman boat. And when a Carthaginian boat got close, the Romans would drop the plank. It had a spike under it onto the Carthaginian ship, and it would hold the Carthaginian ship where it was and create a plank in between the two. And the Roman soldiers would run from the Roman ship onto the Carthaginian ship, dip, 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 stab everyone in the face. You won. This war is a horrific war that takes place on the water and in Sicily. Rome eventually gains a serious upper hand. In Rome, they sue for peace. Well, Carthage sues for peace, but Rome decides to grant Carthage a peace. Now, you should know that when Rome granted Carthage their peace, they took away so much that mattered, various territories that mattered to Carthage that made Carthage wealthy. But they didn't go after Carthage itself, and they didn't finish their conquest of Carthage. They said, hey, we're going to take this purse of yours, and this silver of yours is mine, and this territory is mine. And then they said, I hope that you learned your lesson, Carthage. But Carthage didn't learn its lesson. Because Carthage wasn't conquered. It was half conquered. And during that fighting on Sicily in the First Punic War, there was a man there, a great general. His name was Hamilcar. And Hamilcar had a son. And that son's name was Hannibal. And Hannibal was raised by his father to hate the Romans. And Carthage, because they were half defeated instead of all the way defeated, they nurtured this Hannibal. He eventually marched off to Spain, conquered most of Spain, took over all the silver mines there. Soon Carthage is drowning in money and more powerful than they were before. And Hannibal, I don't have to go into the details of him. You know him because you listen to this show, spent his time marching his army around the Roman, around the Italian peninsula, slaughtering Roman armies by the tens of thousands. And even after that war, when that one was over, Rome still didn't choose to finish off Carthage. They had to fight a third war. How many Roman citizens died because of half conquest? I don't even know what the number is. It's amazing. But when people get themselves in wars with someone who's going to keep being a problem, they love to convince themselves that they can halfway get through it. Hey, well, I know there's a robber in my house. I don't want to kill him. I would be mean. So if I just chase him out, I'll yell and maybe I'll wave my gun around and I'll just chase him out and then everything will be fine. But it won't be fine because he already got into your home to rob it once. And once you've proven one time you're not willing to kill him the first time he walks in, he's going to come back and he's going to do it again. Maybe next time when only the kids are home. Half conquest. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is a secret state police agency that works on behalf of communists. And it works to destroy the enemies of communists. It works. They're working as we speak right now. They're meeting in ways that will make you an enemy of the state. They are infiltrating your church. They have already infiltrated churches in this country. They are destroying the pro-life movement. They are going after people over and over and over and over again. And the GOP response to the FBI wanting a new headquarters is, okay, we'll give it to you, but it's got to be in Alabama. Boom, nailed it. I hope you learned your lesson. Pathetic. Why does Christopher Wray sit in front of these people and lie without end? Why?
Do you think priests should be informants inside the church, Director?
We do not recruit, open, or operate confidential human sources to infiltrate, target, report.
But that's not what religious organizations. That's not what this said. It sounds like you were trying to do it in Richmond, Virginia.
No, sir.
You weren't? This didn't happen? You can assure us that this didn't happen?
That product did not, to as best as we can tell, result in any investigative action as a result of it. None.
As best as we can tell, notice all the lawyers speak today. That action did not, the best of we can tell, take place. Of course it took place. It's still taking place right now. That was one document. We lucked out. There was a whistleblower. Otherwise, we wouldn't even know about that. What don't we know about? And the response is, you have to move to Alabama? Come on now. All right. Now we'll go through the rest of these Christopher Wray comments. Before we go to these comments, let's deal with what we talked about. Your shooting. It needs to improve. Mine needs to improve. All of us have to get better. Shooting skills are perishable skills. Maybe you're a beginner. Maybe you're just starting out. Maybe you're nervous. Maybe you don't even like the sound. That's understandable. That doesn't make you some wuss. That's understandable. Get a Mantis X and practice in your home. Maybe you're an experienced shooter. Good. You know what experienced shooters, you know what they say? 90%. Your practice should be 90% dry fire practice. Go to MantisX.com and get a Mantis X system today and dry fire practice in your home with feedback, putting you through drills, scoring you. You'll watch yourself get better. And then the best part is when you finally go to the range again, you'll be amazed at how much better you are. The Green Berets use it for a reason. The Marines use it for a reason. MantisX.com. All right? MantisX.com.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We might end up taking some phone calls next hour. Not for a while. Don't bother. The phone lines are shut down. I've got other things. I've got a bunch of stuff I want to say. First of all, did you see that there's a whites only class right now at NYU? Pretty exciting stuff, right? Guess we're bringing back just open racism in this country. Oh, but wait a minute. It's an anti-racism workshop for public school parents. Only for you, though, Whitey. No one else can be racist. Only you, Whitey. And again, it's not that I care specifically about NYU. Man, because I couldn't get in. No, seriously, it's not that I care about NYU, but NYU matters. It matters a lot. It's an elite university. I need, and you need, NYU to be churning out elite people. People who are uniquely capable, much more capable than you or me could ever be. Instead, it just churns out more communist apparatchiks every single year who believe white people are evil and lecture whitey. And what is this crap? Our most elite institutions have been completely poisoned from the inside. Gosh, it's amazing. All right. Let's roll through all the Christopher Wray audio that I promised you we would. I really, really, really loved this little doozy.
Can you define what disinformation is? What I can tell you is that our focus is not on disinformation, broadly speaking.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, it is. Well, wait a minute.
Can I answer the question?
You can in a minute. Your star witness said in the litigation, Elvis Chan, who's in charge of this, said they do it on the basis of disinformation. We need a definition of what that is.
Our focus is on malign foreign disinformation, that is foreign hostile actors who engage in covert efforts to abuse our social media platforms, which is something that is not seriously in dispute.
I have to stop you for time. That's not accurate. You need to read this court opinion because you're in charge of enforcing it. The court has found that, and Elvis Chan testified under oath in charge of this for you. He said 50%. He had a 50% success rate in having alleged election disinformation taken down or censored. That wasn't just foreign adversaries, sir. That was American citizens. How do you answer for that?
Well, first off, I'm not sure that's a correct characterization.
Comes right out of the opinion. You should read
what of his testimony. But what I would say is the FBI is not in the business of moderating content or causing any social media company to suppress or censor.
That is not what the court has found.
That's an outright lie, obviously. He knows it's an outright lie. Back again to the question I'm going to be asking all night long. Why does the director of the FBI feel completely comfortable sitting in front of the House Judiciary Committee and lying to their faces? Maybe because he knows that their hearts, inside of their hearts, they're all really Ken Buck of Colorado.
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists. That an agency that protects Americans from fries from China and Russia and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
My goodness. Jeez, Ken, you need a couple minutes to clean yourself up afterwards or what, buddy? What exactly do you... That's what we have now? That's the people who's supposed to be opposing it? I just want to thank you for protecting us against those dangerous terrorists like that Meemaw who sauntered through the Capitol on January 6th. If you hadn't sent a SWAT team to her house and suplexed her through the living room floor and sent her off to a penitentiary for 30 years. God only knows what kind of terror she'd be dropping on everyone out there. Oh, speaking of January 6th.
How many agents were actually agents or human resources were present at the Capitol complex and vicinity on January 6th?
Well, again, it's going to get confusing because it depends on when we deployed and responded to the breach.
Sure. You're talking, and you and I both know what we're talking different things here. And please don't distract here because we're focusing on those who were there in an undercover capacity on January 6th. How many were there?
Again, I'm not sure that I can give you that number as I sit here. I'm not sure there were undercover agents.
Pause. He's about to do something here that he did all day, and you can see it, and I can see it because you're not a moron. But, well, I'm not sure if they were undercover agents. One, it's always, remember, it's always not sure. It's never no, yes. It's always not sure. Always giving himself that out. I'm not sure if they were undercover agents, which doesn't say anything about the fact that they were paid assets.
On scene.
I find that kind of a remarkable statement, Director. At this point, you don't know whether there were undercover federal agents, FBI agents, in the crowd or in the Capitol on January 6th.
I say that because I want to be very careful. There have been a number of court filings related to some of these topics, and I want to make sure that I stick within what's in...
I understand that.
Of course. The court filings. Hey, I just have to be very careful. I can't ever answer your questions. I just have to be very careful.
But I thought I heard you say you didn't know whether there were FBI agents or informants or human sources in the Capitol or in vicinity on January 6th. Did I misunderstand you? I thought that's what you said.
Well, I referred very specifically to undercover agents.
Yeah. And so are you acknowledging then there were undercover agents?
As I sit here right now, I do not believe there were undercover agents.
I do not believe there were, of course.
On scene, any assets? FBI agents.
Did you have any assets in the crowd?
When it comes to what you're calling assets or what we would call confidential human sources, sure. That's a place where, again, I want to be careful. Much as I said in response to an earlier question, there are court filings that I think speak to this that I'm happy to make sure we get to you, assuming they're not under seal. And that can better answer the question than I can as I sit here right
now. Mm-hmm. You know what the deal is. Of course, the FBI was there. We know the FBI was there. Enough has leaked out already so that we know for a fact the FBI was there. Federal agents were there. They were in the crowd. We know that there are people who really seemed like they were instigating the whole thing on videotape and never ended up getting arrested at all. Anyone who was getting a cup of coffee in D.C. at the time ended up behind bars, but for some reason, these instigators don't ever seem to. Odd, no? All right. Look, I'm going to get to all the rest of this Christopher Wray stuff. Then we're going to get to the Trump debates and the Ukraine stuff and inflation and all that and more still to come on The Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.